You're listening to FCUM Radio, radio for FC United of Manchester. And now, this club is my club.
FCUM Radio. FC Music United.
I think it was Scott Fitzgerald who said, American lives don't have second acts. Well, this is Manchester. We do things differently here.
Towards it, goal! It's the United, Paul Armstrong.
First time shot comes in.
Jake Cottrell with a screamer!
I don't believe it!
An absolute rocket from Cottrell!
In This Club Is My Club this week, we have all the reaction and interviews from Saturday's crucial match at Southport.
Hi, this is Ray Stubbs. You're listening to FCUM Radio.
Hello, I'm your host Cockers and welcome to this week's This Club Is My Club, right here on your very own FCUM Radio. As well as the men's team, later in the show we'll be hearing how the women's team fared in their crucial league match as FC United travelled to Merseyside to take on Mosley Hill. But before that, it's now time for this week's club news. And we start this week with a reminder that on the 29th of March, FC United's Comedy Night will be returning to Broadhurst Park, with performances from Smug Roberts, Danny Deegan and headliner Justin Morehouse. Tickets are available from the club office during office hours this week or at this Saturday's home match against Hereford. For more details, please call 0161 769 2005. Elsewhere, and FC United's under-21s continue their winning run up at the top of the North West Development League following a 6-1 win over Neston Nomads, including a hat-trick for Henry Limpichi Bongwanga. And finally, following last weekend's gutsy display against Guiseley, Ben caught up with FC United manager Neil Reynolds to hear his mood heading into Saturday's crucial match at Southport.
So, Neil, a big thank you for joining us. A big, big game tomorrow against Southport. And a lot of optimism following last weekend's superb performance against Guiseley. How's training been this week?
I'll go bigger than big game. Ben, I think it's a massive game. You know, and I'll be honest with you. After the result last week, being in the stands after the game and, you know, having a drink with everybody, there was a really good atmosphere about. And what it gave us last week was real belief that, you know, when we were dead and buried after 65 minutes, 3-1 down, the team wasn't dead and buried. And that belief to come back and, you know, from 3-1 to draw 3-all, it's just given us real belief and give us a life again to think that we can go on and do what, you know, do the unthinkable. So tomorrow's a huge game. As for training this week, training's been great. You know, lads have come in. You can feel that optimism. You can feel that belief. You can feel that, you know, everything we've talked about. We're desperate to go to Southport tomorrow and, you know, put our A game onto them, and, you know, and hopefully come away with the points, and that's what we're all striving to do tomorrow.
Any injury concerns going into tomorrow's match?
No,
Thank you for joining us, Reno. Much appreciated.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, there isn't, and it's so nice to be able to say that. 21, 22 lads have trained all week. We haven't brought anyone else in. It's been a case of, you know, everybody getting ready for the game, and we'll pick the 16 that are available. You know, good news is that we've got Bob Harris back available for selection for tomorrow, and that might give us a slight selection headache because obviously the quality of Bob. But no, it's nice to have a full week's training and everybody be off the treatment table and everyone ready to go for Saturday, and that's been our focus.
Now, not to give too much of the game plan away, but you've been toying with the idea of a flat back three. Then you went to a four at the back last week, midway through the game. So do you have any idea now about what the best formation is?
Yeah, I do, to be honest, Ben. I mean, we've watched... I went to watch Southport against Stockport on Tuesday night. And, you know, I've learned a lot from the game. And I like... You know, we work on two formations, our 4-2-3-1 and our 3-5-2. And I do believe we can get success with the 3-5-2. Looking at Southport's weaknesses, if you will, and I think that, you know, playing to a system that will give us the opportunity to to exploit their weaknesses and, you know, identify our strengths will be key. You know, the likelihood is that we'll keep to how we started last week and keep to work on it. But like you said in the game last week, if things aren't going for us, we can quickly flip into our second formation and be more, you know, and get the opportunities. But no, I thought last week against Guiseley, even with the formation, I thought the goals could have been defended better. I don't think there was too much wrong with the formation. But when you're chasing the game, we needed to put more attacking players on. Tomorrow, we're going to Southport, who are, you know, very high in confidence. And we'll probably go there with a similar game plan to as we had last week and try and nullify their threats. And as the game opens up, if it allows us to, maybe tweak the formation in the second half. But no, we've worked on our 3-5-2 all week. And, you know, we're very confident in that formation for tomorrow.
And finally then, Neil, last season, Southport away, I think, was one of the highlights of our time in the National League North, actually. A great atmosphere. What's your message for the away support tomorrow? Because it is going to be bouncing, that main stand, I feel.
I can't pay any more superlatives to the FC fans. I mean, you know, when we, you know, I think, what was it, 1,700 on 2,000 last week. And also, when we pulled it back to 3-3 and there was only one team going to win it, it was going to be us. The noise was incredible. And I think that gave us a belief, and talking to people afterwards, and they were all saying to be down at Southport next week, it's just very much the same. You know, can we silence the Southport fans? Can we go there with no fear, with no pressure, just go down there, execute what we've got to do, come away with the points and give this season real belief that we can do what we've got to do? Because, you know, I said to the lads last night, don't give up on this. Do not give up on this, because I've got real hope and real optimism that this season could be the biggest escape victory ever. You know, looking at our fixture that we've got coming up, looking at the way we're playing, looking at the togetherness, if we can get the fans right behind us and singing the way they have done in every single game, but even louder tomorrow, then, you know, then we're going to do our utmost to bring home them 3 points. And that's what everyone's striving to do. And the lads in training last night, that's what everyone's desperate to buy into. So, you know, come quarter five tomorrow night, Ben, hopefully we've got smiles on faces and we keep this season alive.
FC United manager Neil Reynolds speaking to Ben there on Friday afternoon. To Saturday's football action now, and FC United travel to the Lancashire coast to take on mid-table side Southport. To hear how the match went, it's over to FC Live.
So hello everybody and welcome to Hague Avenue. A very, 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 very big game this afternoon. Stato Pols with me.
It's bigger than the beach.
It is bigger than the beach. How important is this game? It feels like...
I would say that much.
It feels like, you know, we could be on the edge of something here.
The crest of a slump.
Be it relegation or the greatest comeback since a comeback that was so great once.
Yeah, that we can't remember. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Historically, in this division, we've always managed to claw our way out of trouble. And we're coming to the end of February now. And it's getting a bit late this time. We're leaving it a bit late on the track, but, you know, the train's beginning to get a bit close.
Well, this afternoon it's a very big game, and if results go our way, this afternoon Guiseley are playing Alfreton, York are playing Dunedin, Chorley are playing Ashton, Spennymoor are playing Leamington. If results go our way, crest of a wave and all that, we could be 5 points from safety.
Yep.
And that's a knife-edge run. This, on paper though, is a very tough game, Paul, this afternoon.
Southport are not completely out of the danger yet, I feel.
Really?
Not completely out of it.
Do you reckon?
No.
One thing we have to say is their home form is not too dissimilar to our away form.
I was going
to
bring that up.
Yeah.
We waited until December the 8th to win a home league game. Southport were worse. They had to wait till Boxing Day.
That's right. It's just our luck that we're coming across Southport. Now they've had 5 wins under their belt here at Hague Avenue, because before Christmas they were dreadful here, weren't they?
Yep.
In the league, they have got a bit of steam going though. Liam, it looks like it's finally clicked under Liam Watson, and there's 2 players in particular we have to look out for this afternoon. Well, 3 really. Jason Gilchrist is playing, also playing Dion Charles,
leading scorer, and Jack, on the wing,
and Jack Sampson.
Sampson's a handful, isn't he? Yeah, we've got three. They've got 3 good players there going forward. Gilchrist has not had a really good season though. He's only scored 3 league goals, and he's not been the main man for them this season.
But he starts today.
Yeah.
He starts today, and it follows for Southport. It follows. Well,
it's interesting. There's a bit of a contrast between the two teams. We finished our game against Geisler on a bit of a high. Southport went to Stockport County and were unlucky not to win it. In the end, they lose 3-2.
Yeah, they'll be disappointed. They were 2-0 up in the first half and came back with nothing. It's a hard one to predict. The last time they played at home, they beat the league leaders here 5-3. But believe it or not, that's their only win in the last five games. So stats, you know, it depends how you look at them.
Well, this afternoon, you might have heard the Neil Renault interview as we head into this broadcast live from Hague Avenue. He's gone with a pretty similar formation that he started with against Geisler, with in mind that we can change it like we did last week if we need to.
Yeah, Lynch came on during that game, didn't he, from the bench, and he's kept his place. And I'm also pleased that Wallen and Piers start today, because they both made impacts when they came on last week.
And the thing for me is, obviously Piers has had a niggling injury, but he drives at defences, and that's what we've been missing, I think.
Yeah, I think that he offers a different kind of game to Sharp, who's on the bench this afternoon.
Now, going into this game, Southport are 14 points ahead of FC United and 8 places ahead. But if results go our way this afternoon, like I said, the relegation picture becomes a bit more hopeful. And as someone once said, it is the hope that kills you. But well, we've got to stick to it, haven't we?
Yeah, Geisler, the team, obviously, if we win today, we've got an option of possibly going ahead of Ashton. We could go up a place today.
Well, Ashton are playing at Chorley this afternoon, yeah. And we should say a special thank you to Telford for doing us a favour midweek and beating Ashton United at Hurst Cross by 4-3.
Yeah.
Hopefully they don't play like that when we go to the new book set in a few weeks' time. But the teams are now out on the pitch. FC United wearing their customary red, white and white, and Southport in their home get-up of yellow and black. And we'll hand over now to our expert commentary team for this afternoon's game. It's Stato Paul, but first, me. Well, here is Harris now. The centre-back area plays the ball forward to Donoghue. Donoghue turns, plays the ball out to the left-hand side. Here's Willoughby, who's onside. Willoughby now on the edge of the box, shoots! Ooh. Good save from Dan Hanford, and he needed to save it. But a great effort there for Kurt Willoughby, and the first corner of the afternoon for FC United on 9 minutes, Paul.
Yeah, Hanford was at full stretch there to tip that over the bar. It's a good piece of work by Willoughby to squeeze in a shot from out wide out.
But Morton's under pressure from Charles, but Morton does well, gets it back to Lynch. Lynch clears his lines towards the halfway line, brought under control from Willoughby. Willoughby now over the halfway line he goes, out towards the left-hand side, still going. He's got the legs of Platt, I think. Willoughby still with the ball now, looking to nutmeg Platt, does nutmeg him. Willoughby shoots! Oh, and a good save on the near post. That would have been a great goal from Kurt Willoughby. Instead, it's going to be a corner. And FC United are ever so slightly now gaining confidence in this game, Paul.
Willoughby had the confidence there, nearly said Wallaby, to take on the defender. He ran right across the pitch and still managed to get a goal attempt in.
Harris wins the header there against Gilchrist. Wallen helps it on to Piers. Piers turns to Whittam. Whittam finds Donoghue in space. Donoghue turns. Donoghue out to the left-hand side. Finds O'Halloran. He's got ages to pick across. In it comes! Oh, Piers! Piers from a yard out. Heads it over.
It looked like it was 1-0.
Welcome back to FC Live. Brought to you by ConstructiveCoding.com and you lovely people, the Armchair Army. 0-0 the score here at Hague Avenue between Southport and FC United. Stato Paul still with us, tweeting away. But also with us, the upstanding everyone, it's Woodso. What did you think?
I'm disgusted. I'm frustrated and I'm really annoyed. There's no sandwiches here this time.
There isn't.
Is that what you're frustrated about?
Not happy. Yes, we should. This is a simple answer.
This is what happens. It was Nicola from Supporters Direct. She used to do the press and she used to
provide
sandwiches.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, before we get to the Piers chance and the couple of other half chances we've had, and the Willoughby effort, which was good as well, let's talk about the general setup of this game at the moment. FC United are playing them much better football and shouldn't be afraid of the second half.
I agree. I think it's a strange way he's set up, actually. When we were saying the first half there, he's put Harris in the middle and O'Halloran on the left. Well, you'd think it'd be the other way around. I mean, you know, and it's working so far. You know, it's 0-0. They've not really created much, apart from had a couple of chances towards the end. So, but you're right. You know, the football's being played by one team, really. I'm frustrated that some of the passing choice, and we say it most week in, week out. And I know, you know, like we've said for years, it's semi-pro football, blah, blah, blah. I get all that. But when you have lads who are... When you've got a situation where you've got lads out wide and we're trying to run down the middle, or there was a bit where Lynch had the shot in the first half, which was straight at the keeper. But actually, for one of the few times, because we'd had a cross from the other side or a corner, we've got the box loaded. Get it in. But he's cut inside onto his weaker left side and had a shot straight at the keeper. It's just little frustrations like that. You know, there was that bit at the end where Astles had slipped or passed it back. And Willoughby's already slipping. He's already falling over. If he stood up straight, it's annoyance. We're just not getting the... I'm not saying it's bad luck or anything, it's just not getting the brakes. Sometimes you don't get the brakes, do you?
Have you been surprised with the way Southport's set up?
Well, I think we've seen them early in the season and we know they play very direct. They're playing even more direct than I expected.
Quick transition.
We had this conversation at the home game, didn't we? Quick transition football.
When you're relying on long throws to break the deadlock, then that kind of tells you all, doesn't it?
Let's talk about the two proper chances FC United have had. Firstly, the Willoughby.
The shot was tipped over. Yeah.
That was superb.
Great shot. Good run, good shot, and well saved. Yeah. You know.
Then there's the chance right at the death there where Piers.
It's got to be buried onto it.
I mean, the football to get to that stage was glorious.
Yep.
He's a yard out, Paul. How's he missed?
Well, obviously he was focused on beating the keeper. The keeper wasn't far from him. He managed to head it beyond the keeper, but just hit the target.
It's one of them, you want him to head it down, and it can't be anything other than a goal, and he's got it upwards and it's gone over.
Now,
Renault
said in his pre-match interview, you know, he's going to start the way we started against Geisler, and then if we have to change it, we can. You wouldn't change much, would you?
At the minute, no. It's working well. I mean, I was surprised that Bannister not starting today. I thought he played all right last week, and I thought Donoghue, when he came on, wasn't as strong as he normally is. So I was surprised that he's gone that way today. There's changes on the bench. I don't like having a goalkeeper name. We've got other outfield players.
Like having a goalkeeper name?
No, it's nonsense. It's absolutely nonsense.
Well, considering it's Telford.
What?
Were you not at Telford?
Yeah, but that's a ludicrous example. You've got three and a half. How are you? Three on the bench.
If anyone who ever says to me,
nonsense. It's
just a waste. It's a substitute spot.
It is.
Telford away. No chance. Let's just talk about the goalkeeping.
Anyway.
Because Fisher, because of Ogle and these long throws, and because of the likes of Sampson in the penalty area, he's got to be on it.
He's done well. He's done well.
Not to tempt fate, but he's caught everything.
He has. Yeah, apart from the one he got clouted.
Well,
he dropped
fouled.
that's what I'm saying. He's got everything apart from where he was clouted.
To be fair, he did land with the ball.
He did, actually, yeah.
It's just a shame that then he proceeded to land 3 yards back.
Yeah. You're right. Well, that's the one thing I've noticed since he started, you know, since we've brought him in, that he is quite strong on the cross. I mean, last week he was punching a few, and people don't like that. End of the day, if he gets distance on it, that's his job. He's got it away from his area.
I'd rather a goalkeeper punched it to safety than tried to catch it and screw it up.
Correct. Absolutely.
So second half, I think Wallen and Whittam have done all right. It's just the pass choice.
Whittam's frustrating.
And towards the end of that second half, the first half, they started to get it. They actually put it out to the fullbacks.
Yeah,
on the
overlap. They've got a big obstacle there in the middle in Astles. And if they play it wide of him, he's not going to relish the chase.
Get it round him, absolutely. Yeah.
He doesn't like the chase.
Absolutely.
So we want to get it out wide quickly and support the man on the ball.
Whittam frustrates me because I've seen him play for Chorley. We've all seen him play for Chorley. And he's had games. He's won matches for Chorley against us and he's dominated midfield. He's not done it for us so far. Now, whether or not that's...
Well, he has been injured.
That's what I'm saying. Whether or not
that's why he's on loan to us.
But by the same token, is this his fifth or sixth week? I mean, it was supposed to be for a month. He's been here longer than a month now. He's played every game. Either starting or I think he came off in one of them, but I think he's played 90 minutes in all the others. I think he should be a bit sharper, but I'm just being a bit churlish there, to be honest with you. You know, could you mention him? I just want more of him, that's all, because I think he's a footballer.
And we mustn't
seen him play. So.
We mustn't forget that we've got a guarantee of a goal in the next 15 minutes.
Here we go. We're going to bring it up now anyway, like we always do.
If you missed it in the first half commentary, Paul has a stat for you all. But first, I'm going to set the scene. What game are we on?
Game too many.
Game 31 in the league, plus all the cup games.
Does it include the cup games?
Including the cup games.
Of course it does, Limer. Right, okay, so 30-odd games this season, everyone. FC United have not scored between the minutes of 46 and 60 minutes. The Manx knobs are in the bag. They're ready. They're waiting for a home.
Paul, there's a big but today, though, isn't there?
Paul has a very encouraging stat, which he's about to nail now. Paul,
Southport concede more goals in the 46 to 60 minute mark than any other point in their games.
This is going to be the most tedious nil-nil for the next 15 minutes you've ever seen.
What we're saying is, dear listener, if you've got any pets, any small children, any drinks on tables nearby, move them.
Yes.
Because something very groundbreaking and thrilling is about to happen in the next 20 minutes.
Move yourself to a position of safety.
Yes.
Whilst you're listening.
Yes, and make sure...
So if you're driving, stop your car.
And make sure Auntie Doris next door is aware that there's going to be a loud noise in the next 20 minutes.
Close your windows, perhaps, so your screams are not audible to all your neighbours.
Good precautions.
I like that one.
Yes. Anyway.
Nailed on, isn't it?
It is nailed on. And I'm going to... Whoever wins it, I'm going to give them the postcard that Paul Le Pen wrote as well.
You can't give them the
If you're using any power tools or power any tools. Dangerous equipment.
So, before you
it's
go...
always like this, man.
Before you go, Woodzo... he's working. Before you go, Woodzo, any closing thoughts?
Yeah.
Thank you for joining us, Woodzo, as always. More dangerous stuff. It's a throw-in from the right-hand side, which Ogle's going to take as we approach the hour mark here at Hague Avenue. In it comes towards the near post. Fisher's there. He doesn't get to the... Handball, referee. Handball.
What's he given? What has he given?
Oh, my God, he's seen that. I thought he hadn't seen it.
I was worried there.
Yeah, I was very worried. Platt, basically.
He's going to bring his card out for deliberate handball, I think.
Platt basically smashed the ball into the net with his arm.
But I was worried that the referee was pointing to the centre circle. My initial reaction there was he was going to give it.
And it's a yellow card. Thankfully, the ref saw that because that was so blatant. I was like, no, he's not giving that goal as a corner. 65 minutes on the clock. Southport's Dion Charles to take it. In it comes towards the back post. There's Astles. Hits the bar. And cleared by Piers. A big let off there for FC United. Ogle heads the ball back there to his goalkeeper. And stop giving corners away, Paul, is the message.
Well, eventually you're going to get your marking wrong. And Astles is going to win something. And he did. Luckily, the woodwork saved us.
Harris there was trying to encourage Fisher to get that ball, and Fisher stayed on his line. And here's Charles now, and Charles, nice bit of skill there to find Gilchrist. Cross comes in, and it's a goal kick, thankfully. Oh, he's overruled him. He's given a corner. Well, FC United not happy about that decision, but 66 minutes on the clock and the corners are now even. It's 5 apiece. Another corner to Southport. Nervous times there for FC United. 0-0 the score. Charles to take it for a fifth time this afternoon. In it comes. Again, who's going to get on that ball? It is Astles. And a thunderous header. And he heads it just wide.
Well, that's twice now he's beaten Sass Davis in the air. One hit the bar, one flashed wide of the post. Warning sign there.
Full time at Hague Avenue. The manager straight away claps the 600 or so visiting FC United supporters. They've been superb this afternoon. FC United on the pitch, though, it's a frustrating afternoon. It's what could have been, but it's 0-0. It's a point, Paul. It's not 3 points, though. What does it mean, the draw?
It's better than nothing, but it's almost nothing because of results going elsewhere against us. And this definitely was a winnable game. We knew this before we started it, and we know at the end of it, it's just disappointing. We've struggled all season to score goals, and again, it's bitten us.
Yeah, and the it's so frustrating. And to me, the story of it is chalk and cheese in a way. That we saw how Southport set up, very direct, quick transition, and all that palaver, but FC United in the first half started to come to grips with it, created the better of the chances,
the frustrating thing was in the second half, it was so slow for FC United to keep that going.
And we had the last 10 minutes there where FC absolutely busted, got to score, but we needed that commitment for longer in the second half. And I suppose the question for the players is, why did they have to wait until the closing stages of the game before they upped the game and went for the jugular and actually put Southport under terrific pressure, won a string of corners and free kicks? Unfortunately, we couldn't convert any of them, but Southport were hanging on for grim death there, and we needed more earlier from the red shirts.
Well, if you watch it one more cup of coffee on Facebook, you can see the crowd here this afternoon for Messi United. If FC United, you know, do end this season by going down, the National League North is going to miss that support, isn't it?
It's going to miss the numbers and the noise, certainly.
There really have been another level this afternoon. I mean, it was
the noise has been terrific.
August 2017 that was the last time we were here, and that was a good afternoon. That was a good evening, rather. And, well, it's just frustrating. It's just what could have been. That's the thing.
Again, and we look again to last week. You know, Guiseley at home, another winnable game, which we ended up with just a point, and these points are just not enough on their own.
Well, let me give you the full-time scores from elsewhere, and it's still being played at Victory Park, but at the moment Ashton United are 1-0 up. Nuneaton have been beaten today by York by 2-0. Leamington have been beaten by Spennymoor by 1-0. We've also got Guiseley being beaten by Alfreton by 1-0. So, in many ways, we have closed the gap on the teams we need to, but not by the levels we want. It's only 7 points now to Guiseley, not five.
The manager's already said how many wins he thinks that they need, and it's only wins that are going to save us at this stage. If we were safe in Southport's position, we'd be saying, well, a good point away from home. But where we are in the drop zone, to get out of the drop zone, we need to put more than an unbeaten run of draws together. We've got to start winning. And so we look again for the next game at home to Hereford.
I mean, we're going to hear from Neil Reynolds shortly. But, you know, that Hereford game now is huge. I mean, it was huge anyway, but it's so big.
It's bigger than Merseyside now.
Yeah, I mean, if you are in two minds about coming to that game, you need to get to Broadhurst Park by hook or by crook for next Saturday's match against Hereford. That's a must win now. It is a must win.
Considering we've only won one at home, it's time that record was broken, isn't it? And we need to start racking up some wins.
Let's talk about some performances before you have to go. Well, Fisher was in a game this afternoon. The long throw-ins from Ogle were very prevalent all the way through that game, from left and from right. And he dealt with them mostly, didn't he?
I thought in a physical game, Fisher stood up for himself and did a good job with the gloves. I think he made some good saves when it mattered. I think he was covered quite well defensively. I thought O'Halloran had a good game. He had Devon Green to take on the flanks, and he had him in his pocket for most of the game, really, I've got to say.
And to be fair, apart from a few chances in that second half, where I think I can remember Astles hitting the bar and then narrowly heading it wide, generally
there wasn't a lot of threat, really, to deal with, direct threat. There was a lot of long ball and a lot of throw-ins, but I thought we coped very well. I thought Lynch had a good game. Lynch knocked everything out he had to.
Well, Harris played well as well,
yeah.
That sweeper.
And I thought Wallen did well in midfield. I thought Wallen worked very hard this afternoon. Covered a lot of ground, made a lot of challenges.
I do have to talk about the goal scoring. There was a couple of opportunities, half chances in that second half. And I go back to that clip of Solskjaer on the Mulder training pitch, where he says, you're not going to score if you don't shoot.
Yeah.
We need to shoot more, don't we?
Well, it's like we get great positions around the edge of the box or inside the box, and we're just looking for another pass. And that's the sign of a side that's not confident. It's like sometimes they don't want to take on the responsibility. And that's disappointing at times when you're in a good spot and you really have to hit it first time. And you don't look up and think, well, am I the right person? You just hit it. It's instinct, isn't it? And that's something that the manager's maybe got to work on in training and get people to shoot on sight.
I mean, I was a bit it's difficult to say all this because what you're defending against is Ryan Astles. So you can't launch the ball into the penalty area. It's just not going to wash.
It's like taking on a wardrobe, isn't it?
Yeah, it's going to win every time. Have you ever tried to win a header against a wardrobe? It's impossible.
Well, throw yourself against the wardrobe and you'll know what we mean.
So we needed to go work the ball round him. But yeah. I don't think we did it enough.
No, we weren't cute enough at times. We did try to run in behind him, but sometimes the passing wasn't quite there. I thought Willoughby tried hard this afternoon. But he put a lot of yards in. Piers was lively for most of the game. Donoghue was reasonable. He contributed. But, it's that lack of goals that's haunting us, I think. It's not the defence. It's just we don't score enough, do we? And that could be the thing that puts us down. Not what we concede, it's what we fail to score.
And if we do have to, have that painful chat at Blackley away where we discuss, what went wrong.
The inquest.
Or what went right.
Yeah.
It, regardless of if we stay up, the goal scoring and needs to improve.
Well, I'm not going to point fingers right now, but obviously stats do tell you some of the picture. And if you look at the number of shots that people have and the number of goals that's come from those shots, that's the kind of thing that puts you down.
Well, 0-0 the score here. And FC United certainly not down. It's frustrated.
It's a fighting point this afternoon.
Yeah,
it keeps us in the hunt, but unfortunately, it doesn't take us out of the relegation position that we're in, 21st, and that's a disturbing stat to go into March now, which we will be.
Just to get the final score from Chawla, it's finished Chawla 0, Ashley United 1,
which is the worst result we could have.
Which is pretty remarkable, a cracking scoreline considering Telford beat Ashley United midweek. That's great for Stockport as well, as you
brilliant
alluded
for Stockport,
to
yeah.
earlier. We wait now for Neil Reynolds. You've got to go, haven't you?
I will have to go.
Thank you, Paul. What you're about to hear now is a load of filling from me.
Which you have done many a time before.
Yeah, no. I have to rely on music or something. I need to ring someone, don't I? thank you, Paul, as always, for joining us. We should say you're going to be at Mosley Hill.
I'll be at Mosley Hill, versus, so there will be some tweets.
So liveteamstats.com if you want to track the progress of the women's team tomorrow in that important league match against Mosley Hill. We're not going to be there because it is literally just a field. So we trialled it. And there's no point being there because you can't hear a word we're saying because of the wind. So if we get promoted and we start playing in stadiums, that's when you'll start hearing more away games for the women's team. But until that day,
we will be back shortly, no doubt, at Broadhurst.
I mean, there is a home match coming up, which I think is next weekend. Liveteamstats.com tomorrow, FC United's women's team away at Mosley Hill, and an important game that for FC United. But that's up all. Thank you for joining us, as always. But it has finished here at Hague Avenue. FC United and Manchester 0-0 against Southport. Frustrating afternoon. But as footballers like to say, we go again. And next week it's back at Broadhurst Park with a proper six-pointer. It'll be on live from Broadhurst Park. It's FC United against Hereford, Saturday, 3 o'clock. Be there or listen to us. Take care. Bye-bye.
FC Live there from Saturday afternoon following FC United's 0-0 draw at Southport. After the match, Ben caught up with FC United manager Neil Reynolds.
So, Neil, another frustrating afternoon. So close. What's your take after that one?
I'm so proud of the boys today. I thought the boys were exceptional. To a man, look at the chances that we created. It was a scrappy game. We knew the way that Southport were going to set up. They play a lot on the set pieces. The throwing's dangerous. The corners are dangerous. But I just thought, our homework that we'd done on them, the way we set up, our shape was great. But to a man, the lads were fantastic. And, the game could be different. Piers scores from, the break of half-time for a couple of yards out. He managed to pick out the right option with Willoughby, with about 10 minutes ago. But, it wasn't to be. But you can't, I've just said to the lads, don't underestimate two games undefeated, which is huge for us. So, we look forward to next week now.
I mean, the challenge is, obviously, the temptation is just to bomb the ball into the box. But they've got a walking wardrobe in Astles there. How do you balance that? Because a few people are going to say, shoot, keep shooting, keep putting that ball in the box. But
we went for patience. I mean, so
in training this week, we've done a lot of work with our front two getting in between the two centre-halves and the full-backs and letting the number 10 pick up the central areas. And I think it worked really well. But what that won't lead you to is chance after chance after chance after chance. We knew how good they are at centre-half. You know, they're a well-drilled back four. They train full-time. You know, it's going to be hard to break them down. But I think if you ask their back four against our movement of Piers and Willoughby and Donoghue and Bannister when they come on, they were really complimentary, and as was Liam Watson. You know, we'd done really well. We were patient in our build-up. I don't think we wasted many passes. And, you know, it's difficult, isn't it? Everyone wants you to go for it, but a point was our target today. A point away from home at Southport, we're going for the playoffs. It's a huge result. And like I said, I'm proud of everybody, and now we've got to kick on now next week to Hereford.
Yeah, it's a big game. Big game next weekend. And you know, I came here with questions saying, are we in this relegation battle? I never expected a draw. So where are we in the relegation battle?
That's the squad. You know, that's the squad. There's genuine belief that we're staying up. You know, and I'll tell everybody that. There's genuine belief, and you can ask everybody to a man, they'll give you exactly the same answer. You know, this club, them players, they don't want to go down. And, you know, people look at the Ashton result today saying, oh, is that a good result? But I think it's a great result because it puts pressure on Leamington, Hereford, Darlington's, up above that, York even. And we've got to now just focus on what we've got to do. 10 games to go. You know, I've said 5 wins. That's 2 unbeaten now. That's 2 points that possibly we wouldn't have got when we were 3-1 down last week and then coming to Southport away. But we haven't. We've steadied the ship. And, you know, there's a real camaraderie, there's a real togetherness. We'll get in training Tuesday, we'll get in training Thursday, and we'll go to put a performance on next Saturday.
And we spoke yesterday, and I said August 2017, the away trip here, was pretty special. 600 of them this afternoon. They were non-stop, weren't they?
I mean, I got a text off Paul Howard this morning to say that the fans were going to go into the stands to create more of an atmosphere. I keep saying it. Does the atmosphere get any better? Second half, I don't think they stopped for 45 minutes. And there was a genuine belief from them and from us that we were going to score. And, you know, you could see people, even when Kurt hit the free kick into the wall and then he sprinted back 90 yards to get the ball, that lifted the fans. And again, just keep believing. I've said to every fan coming off their belief, 10 cup finals to go, believe, we're not going down. Tell you now, we're not going down. If we show that level of commitment and spirit and quality, then we're going to give teams a game. So, you know, let's bring on Broadhurst Park next week now against Hereford, and let's give a real good account of ourselves and hopefully get that 3 points we want.
It's back to Broadhurst Park for FC United this weekend as the Reds will be hosting Hereford. Kick-off this Saturday in North Manchester will be at 3 p.m. But remember, if you cannot make this match in person, then have no fear, the FC Live team are here. They'll be going to air live on Saturday from 2:30 p.m. on www.fc-radio.co.uk. Women's team news now, and Sunday evening saw FC United travel back from Merseyside with 3 points following a 1-0 win at Mosley Hill. Kirsty Chambers scoring the game's only goal on 39 minutes. Here's Neil Boo speaking to manager Luke Podmore shortly after the match.
Okay, I'm here with Luke Podmore, head coach of FC United women's team. That was a 1-0 win, but that was very, very difficult, really. They seemed very well organised, and it took a bit of brilliance from Kirsty to break them down.
Yeah, well, to be honest, in the first half, I think we created 5 opportunities where we should have hit the target, should have scored another goal. We knew that was going to come back to bite us, to come back to haunt us a little bit maybe. And like I say, we've had to play the whole game since Kirsty's goal on a 1-0 lead, and we all know that nerves and you know, worry and a little bit of anxiety does cause people to make different decisions than they would usually. So we needed to get that second goal really. And I'm a bit disappointed at half time when we came in 1-0 up, because I really thought we had 5 amazing chances to score. But it is what it is, and we got the one goal, and we got the one. And that's all you need if you keep clean sheet, like I said to you last week.
Yeah, and we kept the clean sheet mostly due to Chloe's brilliance. There was at least two very good saves by Chloe, and then a couple of encounters where she was getting down to the ball as they're coming into her. They didn't pepper our net, but she certainly. If you could get paid, she earned her money today.
Absolutely, yeah. Chloe earned a crush today, so to speak. I think the defence, well, we made quite a few mistakes in front of our own penalty box today. Again, maybe stemming from the anxiety, a bit of worry that we've got, a few rash decisions, few fouls and stuff. So yeah, we got off lightly, and like I say, you know, we didn't take our chance at the end as much, but. You know what, I'm proud of the team, the way they managed that second half out, and I'm proud of the way that the gutsy performance that they gave, you know, to make sure that we came away with 3 points.
Yeah, I was wondering whether Kirsty was going to make the match, because she was hobbling first before she'd scored, and then she looked like she'd rolled her ankle again in the second half. I mean, was you thinking of taking her off at that point, or did you want to keep her on?
No, yeah, we wanted to keep her on, really. I mean, we've got Corey on the bench, but we didn't really want to put Corey on yesterday. That would probably set her back a little bit, so I thought Kirsty was all right. It's just rolled her ankle. It's probably a common thing that footballers do, so no, we're happy with that.
something in
right, okay. So that puts us back at home next week. Is it Tom Finney?
Yeah, back at home with Tom Finney, like I say, in the stadium. So hopefully, like I say, we can get some more points on the board and get some more goals scored and carry on. Was that a sixth clean sheet as well today? Is it in a row? Yeah.
Yes, that's the sixth clean sheet in a row, which is a record. And, and that's our first double clean sheet against a team at this level.
Ah, fantastic. So we want to obviously keep that up. And again, like I say, we only need one goal to win a game. And if we keep a clean sheet, that's the happy days.
Yes, that's exactly what you need. They always set out as a minimum. Score a goal, keep a clean sheet. That's exactly what we've done. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Neil.
Thanks, Neil. And that's it for This Club Is My Club for this week. You can hear this show on Monday and Tuesdays at 12:30 PM and 7 PM on www.fc-radio.co.uk and on North Manchester FM every Monday evening at 9 PM on 106.6 FM. The podcast can be downloaded via our website or from the iTunes store, and all the goals are held on audioboom.com/FCUM Radio. A big thank you to everyone involved in FCUM Radio and the club as a whole. Thanks for listening, and from me, Cockers, see you next time.
This is FCUM Radio, officially the most popular FC United radio station in the world.